Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. So glad that you are here. My name is Scott McKenzie. Thank you very much for joining, you industrial juggernaut. You know you are joining the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe. This is where the industrial professionals come to talk. Thank you very much once again for joining. We've got an incredible interview with a gentleman by the name of Eric Faith. He's with Stratum Consulting Partners, and we're going to be talking about the future. So I'm pretty excited about this interview. Are you?
Oh, I'm extremely excited.
There it is, man. That's Eric. He is excited. I'm excited. We're going to bring out the best in Eric, that's for sure. How you doing?
Doing great.
Hey, did you have a good day today?
I had a great day.
Now, you guys were doing a project here or a smackdown with Infor.
That's correct, yep.
And in just a brief statement, what was it about?
Well, we brought in different industries from public sector and private sector verticals and was comparing and contrasting the differences between those industries. And also talking about similarities as well. So, yeah.
Just between how they use the system or just like similarities, how what was that about?
From a system perspective as well as regulatory compliance and things that are going on in their different industries.
So. That's important stuff.
Yes.
Because was it surprising to see a lot of the overlap? Was there a lot of overlap, or is it truly sort of these verticals are really standalone?
Now there is overlap, and especially one of the things that we spoke about today is what we're seeing in the public sector. They're actually using private entities to perform a lot of the work because of accountability and things like that. Contractually, they can hold companies accountable for the work, and instead of utilizing their own resources internally from a public sector.
Using private entities for public sector water,
yep.
Utilities, whatever it might be.
That's right.
And so they would come in and sort of manage the assets.
That's right.
And the relationship is, hi, we utility company managing with that third-party vendor, for lack of a better term, to sort of manage the assets.
And they can hold them accountable for the regulatory requirements and things like that.
And I would imagine, too, not just from a regulatory point, but a financial budgetary point. If somebody comes in and says, we can do this and maintain your system for X, then that's a hard dollar item. And then I'm a public entity and I can say, okay, it's X.
Yep.
Anything above that, that's your nickel, not ours.
It's on you. That's right.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And especially in a public sector environment, that stability is key. You can't have volatility.
And it helps with the budgeting as well down the road. So they know what their set cost is going to be year over year instead.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a big deal. Now, I just jumped right into business, and nobody in the industrial talk world understands or who knows who you are, Eric. Give us a little background on who you are.
Stratum Consulting is a...
Nope. See, you're right off the bat. It's you, Eric.
Oh.
Stratum's wonderful, and we're going to talk about Stratum. But it's about you and your love of hockey, and where did you come from to make sure that you're a special guy?
Well, I am a Hoosier. Reside in Evansville, Indiana, and I love hockey. My youngest son played junior hockey, and I can't skate. My nickname on the ice is Twinkle Toes for a reason, because I can't stop.
Yeah.
So I would look good in maybe a tutu and doing some kind of spinorama thing.
But you're thankful for the fact that there are walls.
That's
so
right.
So if you didn't have the walls, you'd just skate forever.
I would not stop.
You wouldn't stop. You'd just keep sliding along.
And that's after falling. I would still be sliding. So I have huge respect for the sport because anybody that can skate, skating is just difficult altogether, but can skate and then have to catch a puck and worry about getting clobbered by the next guy. It's just it's fun to watch. So
people don't appreciate the level of skills and the fact that I'm pivoting here, but the ability to be able to go 100% for how long and then just get off the ice and then come back on the ice, go 100%. It's like they, nobody sandbags it out there.
On average, they're on the ice 30 to 40 seconds and then off.
They're off.
But
it makes sense because if you ever skate, I can only skate 30 to 40 seconds and I'm throwing up.
Yeah, that are 10 seconds and I'm on the floor because I fell. But yeah.
Very good. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Stratum. Let's talk a little bit about how long you've been with Stratum and what's your role with Stratum.
Stratum was founded in 2003. I've been with Stratum since 2006. We focus solely on N4 EAM. We are an N4 Alliance partner. We're all about asset management and the fundamentals that go around that with regards to inventory procurement and also sustainability. We feel that, I mean, from a software perspective, we've all been dealing with this platform for a lot of us for 20 plus years.
You've seen a lot of changes.
A lot of enhancements, a lot of great things with the product. But we also see that from a business perspective and a process perspective, those things got to be aligned too before the software can truly function. So
you've seen it, and of course there's some longevity that you've demonstrated as a partner.
Yes.
So you see the value of the system itself. Which is it says a lot for the product itself.
Absolutely, and it's, I mean, just from the time that N4 has acquired the product, I mean, the enhancements that they've put into it to meet the needs of customers and regulatory requirements and the future aspect of being able to forecast out and predict, help you predict and analyze when things are going to fail and when they need to be replaced, giving you that tool set at your fingertips is pretty remarkable.
So let me ask you this. When you guys, one of the things that I was very fascinated with the overall architecture of let's say, the N4 model. Mm-hmm. You've got this sort of generic backbone component, and then you've got these objects. To me, that seems like a very, we can talk a little bit about the food and beverage and how that implementation and why that, but to be able to use that object as a way, you just use the existing system, plug in the object, and then you're sort of running and gunning and up and running.
I think there's an education process that has to occur in these implementations, if we want to call it that. And whether it's food and beverage or any other vertical outside of that, there's elements that take place, or foundational elements that take place prior to this system being functional and sustainable. So what we really try to focus on is educating our clients in, let's do a deep dive and discovery of how you do business today and how folks operate today. And then let's educate the team on what best practices are, what are the metrics that we're going to try to attain, because I said this today, there is a cost to data. There's a cost to collecting data. So we can't just run right out of the gate and have everything that we can imagine under the sun at our fingertips. It just doesn't happen that way. So how do we methodically go about this? Develop that blueprint to configure the system to help us run our business. So that configuration aspect and then the data migration, integrations, those type things.
See, we would do implementations and we would come up and we call it as is. What do you do today? Tell us, sort of, let's map it out. Box here, line here, document there, blah, 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 and create that whole idea. And then you can look at it graphically and say, okay, good, good. So now let's talk about how we align the system to a more...
The 2B. Yeah. So your terminology is exactly correct with what we have. Our discovery is the as-is state. It's how you're doing it today. And we know in some ways some of that stuff is okay, but we can continually improve upon that. So what's that 2B state out there compared to a best practice? So we don't have to recreate the wheel on this stuff. Maintenance best practices have been around for a while. There's even an ISO standard on it now, which we all know. So not recreating that wheel, but adapting what we have from an as-is state, the good things, kind of lining those up with the 2B state, and then making sure the software, EAM, supports that.
And what, in the past when I would go through that, the softwares that I would use are just not real friendly when it comes to the ability to say, okay, here's the as is. Okay, here are your gaps. You got some problems here and here. Here's the 2B. And then you almost have to sort of shoehorn some of that 2B capability. Mm-hmm. But what I see in the systems today is that there's a little bit more flexibility when it comes to it. Like, you want to nail that 2B down because that 2B is considered optimal and a best practice and beneficial to your user.
It's your roadmap of what you're trying to do. So without that, you're running blind. And we see a lot of I don't want to say failures in implementation, but things that are risky or
you
problematic.
You can say failures because there's been plenty of them out
there. Well, and typically the ones that fail are the ones without that roadmap. Yeah. They're led by bells and whistles of technology. They see a shiny pie chart, right, or some kind of dashboard. And they just want that, but they don't know what the infrastructure is to support it.
They don't.
And so you're kind of building on that stuff. If you have the roadmap in front of you or the blueprint for configuration, things are just a lot easier and they don't cost as much.
And once again, it's putting the work up front, which there's a cost to it, but if you're down the road through your implementation and then all of a sudden you got that, oh my goodness moment, then there's a cost.
There's a cost to re-implementation.
There's a huge cost.
Yeah, and that's, so you're mitigating that tremendously. And re-implementations are expensive, and you don't want to see folks going through that.
They're ridiculously expensive. And you're trying to back your way out, you're trying to figure something out, so... Listeners, one of the things, if you get out of this particular podcast, it's one thing. Do the work up front. Do those as-is, 2Bs. When I would do those flow diagrams, all I had was a square box.
Yep.
I had a line, a little decision maybe. Hey, there's a document. And then I did a formalized process, and you just map it out.
That's right.
It's not that – it doesn't have to be complex.
Swim lanes are kind of the things that we use today, but they're also great teaching components, because visual workflows, if you show that to people, I mean, it's pictures speak a thousand words. So
it's huge.
The reason why you have, like in food and bev or any industry, whether you've got requests that are coming in and work that has to be scheduled, how that flow functions in the system, those workflows can depict that easily. Same thing for emergency work and stuff like that. How do we handle this stuff? Well, we've got to be able to depict that through process flows.
And I would imagine, and it's sort of from my experience, when you go through that exercise of saying, okay, let's get everybody in the room and let's start talking about the as-is, it's one, very painful, and it can be quite argumentative, and then there could be finger-pointing, whatever it might be. You got to do it, and it is painful, and it is detailed, but you got to do it.
And we state that up front, and we tell them. And a lot of the scheduling, I mean, we found over the years of doing this that after lunch is pretty painful look at flow charts, so you need to try to get as much done before lunch and then work on the next day's activities because,
plan it out.
You know, carbs kill, right? So after we have our carbs, we're just we're
that's
toast
it, man.
Or
that's
beer
it.
Or anything like that. So
yeah, oh, I agree.
Food and bev, we're talking
food and bev. Yes,
yeah.
But you're absolutely right. And but what I find as people begin to do that, there is a greater adoption of saying, "I got it. Let's go here. We're laying this out. We're mapping this out, and so I can see it." And then there's just like, nope, that's the problem. Yeah, I agree. We're all on board.
After the work is done, there's a greater appreciation for it, for sure.
Yes.
And it's probably hard to fathom doing an enterprise implementation without that roadmap once it's complete. So,
but it's done that way a lot of times.
It is done that way.
Still this day. Which, to this day, it's still done.
Fortunately, is why we're still in business. Yeah. I mean, there's folks that just don't do it, and we're here to help them with that.
Can we talk about a recent implementation that you guys had?
Yeah.
And that would be the Fat Tire. You went down and you went to Colorado.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about that implementation.
They were using a previous product from Infor, MP2 customer, and was looking to migrate to an enterprise solution. So definitely took some change management initiatives because they were set in their ways. They were power users of MP2, doing a great job with it, but they had just outgrown that solution and was looking for a web architected solution such as EAM. So the conversion process was, it had its battles as any conversion would, but I can attest today that they would never go back to the way they were before. They've definitely enhanced their abilities from a maintenance perspective and are looking to do more things now too with the product.
So do you guys go into the ERP realm?
We interface with the ERP systems all the time. We don't implement ERP solutions, but we, of course.
Infor does have ERP solutions.
Absolutely. And we interface to those too. We interface to all of them. But we're taking, of course, depending on how they want to set it up, we can do the orders and all that stuff in EAM, or we can send that stuff over to the ERP systems for the accounting
processing
folks to have
and
it.
Accounting and all that stuff.
That's part of that discovery and to be how we're going to function here and these workflows are going to work.
So how long did that implementation take?
On average, these implementations are, and I said this morning, is around 9 months typically. There are things that can extend that. There's things that can also shorten it. It really depends on the team that you have that's supporting it. And what we state as consultants, so we're here to work ourselves out of a job. You don't want us to stay here forever.
Hold it. And I want to make sure you understand that is a unique perspective because consultants normally don't have that perspective.
Our best customers are the ones that, for references, are the ones that are self-sustaining today. So we don't want to be there. We want to do this knowledge transfer and make sure they're self-sustaining and then get the references from
them. Here's the business model. You know the business model. It's like, so what do? You're looking for the next project because it's a project.
It is.
And you being a professional manager of projects, did you see how I rolled that in there?
you were not going to let that go.
That a project is defined as a beginning and end.
There is an end. But the great thing is the beginning is the reference for the next project.
Okay.
And we can go to them to help support that. There's, with the case of New Belgium, I mean, we have other beer verticals because of them, or beer customers because of them and the story that they tell. So that's worth its weight in gold instead of us sticking around forever.
Yeah, that is such a sour taste. When it is.
Not
the beer. No. That's a delicious taste. It's refreshing and feels good on the lips and all that stuff.
We can't open one.
It's getting close. It's 5 o'clock someplace. That's for doggone sure. But you can also take that sort of beverage mindset too. Beer's beer. But you can also maybe apply it to other beverages.
Absolutely. Wine, water.
Yeah.
Wine.
Yeah.
Probably better.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't do that unless you're drinking champagne or something like that. So that's good. And that mindset is real important.
It is.
Because you know as well as I do that out there in the marketplace today, companies could have a bad reputation because they just sit there trying to keep them working.
Yep.
And that would just – it drove me crazy. And many of these system implementations just fall right in line with that.
And I think there's a lot of similarities between, no matter what vertical we choose, there's a lot of similarities in the way we implement this stuff. The differences really come down to whether it's, you know, like food and bev. Of course, you got FDA stuff that's going on there we got to take care of. But the regulatory side of it always adds certain elements to it. But
are you having any pushback on the SaaS?
No, we're actually seeing more and more customers wanting to go to the SaaS environment. Now, New Belgium, in their case, they are still
FDA.
They're on-prem. Uh-huh. They're still managing that together. But I don't think it's out of the question for them to potentially move to that.
Personally, I don't see any argument, right?
No.
Any argument to not go to a cloud.
SaaS is the wave of the future. I mean, that's where it's going.
It's like just... You know, you listeners out there, and if you're contemplating an on-prem, rethink that. Because I'm telling you right now, that's going to be going by the way of the dodo.
That's right. Well, Infor's FedRAMP certified now, so we're actually doing the first FedRAMP.
See, there it is.
Implementation, so that's big.
Stratum Consulting. That's who you're listening to right there. That's Eric Faith. Stratum Consulting. They know what they're talking about. If you want a beer, contact Eric. And he's also a Caps fan. If you're a hockey player and you like hockey.
We won last year.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah,
can't win them all.
It was a great party.
I bet it was, man. Well, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. And thank you, Eric, for joining. Great stuff. Great street cred. Love it very much. And thank you, Industrial Talk listeners. We're going to continue to be able to provide incredible industrial professionals who have wonderful insights into what's going on. So thank you. Stick to, because I'm going to be on the other side, and we're going to sort of wrap it up to make sure that you've got everything that you need to be a success. So thank you again, Eric.
All right. Thanks.
As an industrial professional myself, I was always passionate about sales, marketing, branding, expanding the marketplace for my company. That's what the Industrial Talk platform is all about. It's about you, the industrial company, the industrial professional, and your legacy. Increasing sales, gaining greater exposure on what you do and how you and your company changes the world. Go out to industrialtalk.com. That's industrialtalk.com. Contact me. Let's have a conversation to see how we can work with you on improving your bottom line, and that you could be a part of an ever-growing network of industrial companies focused on expanding and growing and leaving a legacy. I hope to hear from you soon, and be safe out there. Again, Infor Nation, so thankful that you are listening to the Industrial Talk podcast. Really enjoyed that interview with Eric Faith. Matt Skills, he is with Stratum Consulting. Reach out to him. He's got a great stat card out there on LinkedIn, as all of the individuals that I interview on Industrial Talk podcast. But he's extra special. He is, man. And he wears great socks. I noticed that, because I'm a big podcast socks guy. So anyway, that's Eric Faith, fantastic individual and a partner with Infor EAM. So, hey, you want to get a hold of me? Go out to industrialtalk.com. Let's have a conversation. Love to hear from you. And thank you very much once again for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. Always, that's right, be safe.